We haven't spoken to Moose for, I haven't spoken to him for a year or so. You had him, of course,
and
on
the Mohegan Sun on a Mohegan very Sun. Sad day for Moose, as was the day that Hank passed, as a matter of fact, that morning.
All right, Moose will put his. He's still got that young, good-looking face of his, I'll tell you that. Moose, Chris, and Mike, good to talk to you again, pal. How are you?
See you guys again.
Hello, Moose.
Put his,
how's everything?
Put his mic up
mic
there,
in there. There we go. Good.
Years old makes a hole in one.
Get out of here. That kid.
That kid from Georgia.
That kid, we met him this morning. He made a hole in one.
Hole in one.
He's a scratch golfer from Georgia.
We went to practice. He said, Moose, I want to practice. I said, okay. So I took him out at 9:30.
Right.
So about, he took 12 shots, another 12, and the other shot he took makes a hole in one.
Oh, wow. How about that?
How far was the hole?
131 yards. And this is the second time he did it. First one, he had 108 yards, and today he did 131.
He's a legitimate scratch golfer, Moose, and you watched him play?
Yeah. No, he just was with me on par three.
Oh, just on a par three you saw him. So you
on a par three. Oh.
You just saw the par three.
I'm his agent. I became
that kid's
agent.
Unbelievable. He comes in today. He's got Moose Garrett and Yogi Berra with him. I said, not a bad way to start. 11 years old.
Hopefully
you got Yogi introducing it to me, and he's 11 years old. He's a golf champ from Atlanta or something.
Yeah, who brought him? He was Bob Turley.
Oh, really?
I guess Bob Turley,
Bullet
his
Bob.
Doctors. Service his dad and mother and
there we go, Moose. We got
okay,
this headset for
now.
You. Whoops.
I know. I got a bad
head. No, it's not your fault.
I got a bad head.
There you go. That should work now.
Moose, you know, we talked to you. I saw you at Mohegan Dog. Wasn't there that day on the pass of Hank. And now from your great 61 team, Cletus goes off one of the great infields of all time. You and Bobby and Tony Kubek and Cletus Boyer. So talk a little bit, about, if you will, about the passing of Cletus.
I just saw him 2 weeks ago. We had a card show in Long Island. Kubek was there, Richardson and Boyer, and he looked like he lost a lot of weight. And all of a sudden they said he forgot to take a lot of pills, you know, for himself. Then I guess he had a brain problem.
Oh.
But, I mean, when it's time to go, you're gone, you know. What can you say? I'm 76. I'll be 77 in December. And I told my wife, I said, don't put me just laying on the table taking oxygen. I said, I had a hell of a career. I met a lot of wonderful people. It's time to go. Let me go. Don't let me just lay there in bed. I don't want to do that.
Now, a couple things that's interesting with your career. First off, you're on the 63 Dodgers, but you hate that year despite the fact you beat the Yankees in the World Championship.
I sold the World Series.
And hit a home run against the Yankees.
You played great. And you had Koufax and everything else.
Well, I know. Drive
why, the, why the year? I would think anytime you win a World Series, no matter who you play for, it's fun. Why was that year such a negative in your mind?
Well, because they treated me awful. They traded me in June of the season. And I was having a bad year, and Ron Fairley was having a great year. Ron finished up the season 345.
This is the next year they changed
it? No, during the summer. They already made a commitment to the Washington Senators that I was going to play for Gil Hodges and George Selkirk, who was the general manager. And they were out. Koufax and Dreiser was out, and I heard Johnny Podras come in, and he says, they just traded Moose back to the American League. And I told Dick Suzuki, who was my roommate in L.A., I said, Dick, I heard I was gone. He said, no, Moose, they're going to keep. World Series started. I got a couple hits against Whitey. I play. Next day, I hit a home run Downing. Then I play the next four games. We beat the Yankees four in a row. And then Bavese calls me up. He says, Moose, he says, I'm trying to get out of this deal. I made this deal in June. I said, I heard rumors that you got rid of me. He says, yeah, but just tell when Selkirk and Hodges call you, just say you're going to sell alternators or alterators, and I don't know what the hell it was. I says, I'm going to retire from baseball. I got 10 years on a pension fund. I'm going to quit. He's telling me to say all this stuff. So I told Hodges, I says, Gil, I'm not playing no more. He said, Moose, we'll give you a $2,000 raise, Selkirk said. I says, no, I don't want to play. Then the next day I get a phone call. Buzzy says, Moose, you got to go to the Washington Senators. And I was there 2 months, and they traded me to the Chicago White Sox.
This is in 64 now.
64. Right. We beat the Yankees four in a row.
Absolutely.
That's when Phil Lenz got on the bus.
Absolutely. And
started playing. Absolutely. You know it.
Yep. Yeah.
So because the Dodgers mistreated you, that's why you don't like the Dodger organization.
Yes.
And so that's why you got rid of the ring.
I'll
and
never
things.
Go out to L.A. Where the hell am I going to go out there for?
It was 64. Did you play in 65 or was 64 your last year?
I played with the White Sox.
In 65?
65, 66, and then 67 I played with, and then I retired.
After 67?
Yes, sir.
And 64 was that great pennant race. You guys came in the Yankee Stadium, Yogi the manager, and the Yankees beat you that five straight over the Labor Day. including that doubleheader, which I was at as a little kid. I remember, and they moved into first place. Remember that great race with the Orioles, and the White Sox and the Yankees?
Yeah, and Phil Lenz, I remember Mickey Mantle told me this story. They were on the bus. We beat them four in a row, and Phil's playing the harmonica, and then Mickey says, Yogi said, quit the harmonica. And Phil Lenz says, Mickey, what did Yogi say? Mickey says, Yogi says, play it louder. Well, they got into a scuffle or something. Then they won 11 in a row. We won 9 in a row. We lost a pennant by one game.
Oh, wow, you won 9 in a row, and they won 11 in a row, and you still lost to him, but lost by one.
And Al Lopez was your manager, right?
Yes, sir.
And he was a good manager, right? He was a good. Everyone said he was a good manager.
Nice man. That's the only thing I feel bad. Being a Chicago boy, Mr. Lopez was a great manager.
He was. I know you talked to us about Stengel before. Did you like Stengel or not?
Oh, yeah, as long as you put my name in the lineup.
But he did some crazy
things. Pinch hit for him.
Well, he took me out for a pinch hit in the bottom of the first inning with bases loaded and no outs.
I love that story.
That's amazing. Did you ask him about that? Or no? He had his own wacky ways.
I threw the bat at him. I hit him in the shins and... I didn't even shower, went to the Concourse Plaza Hotel, and the next day he called me in his office. He says, don't you ever show me up again. I'm out to win a ball game. He said, I don't care how you feel. I want you to just forget it. I says, Casey, I'm sorry. Then in the World Series in 56, we're playing the Dodgers. I'm 0-9, and bases are loaded again. And I hear Casey whistle. I said, oh, that old guy's going to take me out. And I told Campanella that. And Roy says, no, Moose, he'll let you hit. So I went up there. Casey says, Moose, he says, take two shots to right field. Roger Craig throws a lot of sliders. I said, okay, Casey. I go up to hit, and Campy says, Moose, I told you he let you hit. First pitch was low and away. I pull it for a grand slammer in left field in Ebbets Field. Come to the dugout. He said, Moose, that's the way to pull that ball.
That's a good start. So he did let you hit the second time with the bases loaded, but not the first time. He did some crazy things. How about 60 when, was that a major issue with the Yankee franchise, Yankee players, that Whitey only pitched the two games? And, he seemed like...
I don't get into that.
He took Shands out in a big spot in 60.
What a double play, Curtis. Kubek gets hit in the throat.
Right,
double play. And then Jim Coates forgets to cover first base.
Right.
Clemente hit a ball into me, which I made a hell of a play. I went to throw it, and I had to eat the ball because he covered.
Right.
The next guy is Hal. I told Mazeroski.
It's a three-run homer. Hal Smith.
I says, yeah, Hal Smith, the next Yankee. I told Maz, I said, you take all the credit. You didn't do a darn thing. The guy that beat us was the next Yankee. Hit the three-run homer.
Right. Now, because he took Shantz out of that game early, and he put Coates in.
Right.
I know a lot of the old Yankee fans have major issues with the way Casey managed that World Series. Did you remember thinking back? Did he do it? Whitey only pitched two games?
You go on and on. Whitey should have started.
He should have. I mean, that's what I mean.
That's none of my business. What can I say?
So you stay out of that.
We blew that one. We blew that
one. You don't blame it on Stengel.
I blame him because he didn't pitch Whitey the first
game. Oh, you do? Okay, then you do blame
him. Moose, was 61 your best team?
Oh, that was the greatest team I played with.
Best team.
I mean, we had 240 home runs. The three M's, Maris, Mel, and Moose. We had 143 home runs, which is still a record today. We had three catchers that hit 20 or more home runs. We had 240 as a team. We
great,
had a hell of a ball club.
And Arroyo coming out of the bullpen.
Right,
and a great and a great fielding team, especially on the infield. You were a great fielding infield.
Well, those guys made me. They were great players.
What a fielder Boyer was.
He played great third base against Cincinnati. He was throwing me balls from his knees, throwing out guys. And I just saw him about 2-3 weeks ago. We were in Long Island. We had the 61 Yankee reunion signing autographs. And Tony Kubek and Bobby Richardson called me up last week, and they says, Cleet's in the hospital, and they let me know what
How about, we were just talking with Giuliani about 62, because the Yankees and the Giants are going to play out there next week, 2 weeks from now.
Right.
And the 62 series and that seventh game. What's your recollection about that seventh game?
I was talking to the umpire when McCovey hit the ball to Richardson. I didn't think we were in a pitch to him.
Cepeda's on deck.
Yeah, Jim Honichick was the umpire. The guy that did the commercial.
Oh, he was up a home plate at first.
So you thought they were going to walk him.
I didn't want to walk him. The ball was hit. I'd have got killed if
he hit a bullet, too.
He hit a bullet to Bobby.
So you thought they were going to walk him.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And a lot of Mays always says that if he was on first and a guy hit the double down the right field line, he would have been scored, shouted, and shampooed before the game.
Roger Maris made a heck of a throw to Bobby Richardson. I couldn't go
that's
down
typical
for a
Mays, though, too.
I had a bad arm. And Richardson went and got the cutoff play and threw it. And Matty, one of the Matty, a loop.
Felipe Loop.
Stopped at third. No, I think it was Matty.
Third base.
Third, I think it was Felipe.
Because Matty was leading off. Mace hit third. Batted a little later in the inning.
It was one or the other. Yeah, it was in a loop.
Tony hitting a double play, and I scored the winning run.
I didn't realize that. You scored the. And how about the fact that Terry gives up the home run to Mazeroski 2 years prior to that, and then has the guts to get through the ninth inning game against that at 1-0? That's a tremendous job by Ralph Terry there.
He was a heck of a pitcher, you know, and a great golfer. I mean, we just got it. When I think of Pittsburgh, all the runs we got, and we just blew
it. Man, the times we interviewed Mickey, he said that was the one that broke his heart, was the Pittsburgh series. He said he cried after that series because he said they were so much better than the Pirates.
I saw Yogi's number in left field, number 8. I saw $3,000 going over the fence because the winning share was $8,000 and the losing share was $5,000.
Oh, that's right. $3,000 goes down.
And that was a lot. That was a lot of coin in those days.
Boy, it was a lot of money. Yeah. Then I get the Dodgers. I think I got $11,000 for winning because we were hoping the Yankees would win because they had a lot of box seats because that's how they went. 60-40 or whatever it is, I don't know, but I got $11,000 for that thing.
Now, how about playing behind Koufax? How much did you enjoy that?
Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I remember I got knocked down by Marischal in the 62 World Series, and I hit a triple off him at Yankee Stadium. The next time I come up, I mean, we beat him. Now I get traded to the Dodgers, and the first time I'm facing Juan Marischal, he knocks me down.
Again?
And I'm hitting 200. And I didn't say nothing. And I popped up the next pitch, and Mays come up to hit, and Koufax is pitching. Well, Koufax knocked him down.
Knocked Mays down.
And the hat flew and everything else. And I looked at Sandy. I said, I love you.
There you go. So Sandy.
He didn't have to do that, but he did it
for you. How about
and he
that?
He knocks down Willie Mays, no less.
I don't give a damn. Mays, we wore those little helmets.
Did you love Drysdale as much as you like Sandy?
You were both great competitors, great winners. I go by winners. They talk about Mays. He was in 2 World Series. Mickey was in 12. I go by winners, and I've been that way all my life.
Now, what are they playing the same kind of team that Mano did now? Let me be fair.
Who cares? What's the difference?
Well,
it's like today. I wish it's like Reggie Jackson wants to hit 18 home runs and tie Mickey's record. They should be different categories.
I totally agree.
Playoffs in the World
Series. Well, we agree with you on that.
If Mano had played in the playoffs, he would have 80 home runs.
When I think, I had a hell of a career. I'm the most played at first base. I played in 39
more games than anybody ever.
I'm once out of 15 guys that hit a grand slammer. I'm 6th in RBIs, 1 behind DiMaggio, and I'm 7th in home runs with 8 home runs in World Series play. So I had a hell of a career.
8 home runs in the World Series, and more games ever than anybody at first base. I think 39, right?
And I hit 4 balls to right field for homers and 4 to left
field. Wow, how about that?
And a one off the Yankees was the right field.
Yep.
I remember that. I was like, I can't believe Moose Scout hit a home run against my team. I remember that. I was like, whoa, Moose.
Yeah.
I'm probably calling you a trader that day, Moose. You know that?
I remember there was a guy, what the hell, Benedict Arnold. We're playing the Yankees in the World Series, and I kept hearing these guys hollering, Benedict Arnold. Who the hell is Benedict Arnold? So I come to the dugout, and I found Drysdale. I said, Don, who the hell is Benedict? He said, Moose, that guy was a traitor, you know? So I used to take my teeth out to the Yankee fans and make them hear that I know what the hell they were saying.
You know, great job of the Yankees in 58 when beating the Braves because they beat you in 57. And they had a 3-1 lead in 58, and you had to win the last 2 games in Milwaukee.
Right.
They almost beat you back-to-back World Series, and the Yankees had the wherewithal down 3-1 to get off the deck to win the last 2 games. That's very impressive.
Warren Spahn and Lou Burdett popped off. They said they wish the Yankees were in the National League, and we read the papers.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So
popped off in the middle of the World Series?
Yeah, they said the Yankees wouldn't do nothing in the National League. So all the guys read the papers, and... So
now, why would you say that
about the Yankees?
Don't ask me, but
about
that's
the Yankees.
Spahn.
Jeez.
And Lou Burdett, when I first signed my Yankee contract, I went to New York with Mickey. Mickey played 1 year at Joplin, and they had his workout for at the Yankee Stadium. And who's pitching against us is Lou Burdett. He was a Yankee player.
Right.
Now, in batting practice, he's telling everybody what he's throwing, curveball, changeup. But when me and Mickey got up, he didn't say nothing. He stuck the bat of our – we just couldn't hit nothing. When I rounded second base, when I hit the three-run homer, I hollered like him. I said, that's what happened for 1950. Oh, he never forgot that either.
That was in one of the games out in Milwaukee. That's how could the Braves say anything? They couldn't have played in the National. These are the New York Yankees.
Was that the team in all those years that you really guys got your blood boiling against?
Yeah, that's because
that
they popped off. Yeah, they popped off.
Did you love Aaron as a player, Moose?
Great player. He's the best right-handed hitter I played against in my time.
Better than Mays.
Yes, yes. That's the way I feel. I mean, everybody's got their opinion. I don't care if Mays ever talks to me now, which I don't care. Hank Aaron was a hell of a ball player and a nice man.
Nice.
I played more against Hank than I did Aaron.
Played against Mays. The 56, 70, 8, 59, 60. That was Pirates. 61. No.
Well, Reds is easy.
Right, that was easy. Well, how about Maris and Mantle first? Were you annoyed at Richards in Baltimore when he brought Wilhelm in game 154 to pitch to Maris? When Maris is trying to break the home run record in the same amount of games that Ruth did. You remember that famous scene?
I remember that.
But didn't he bring Wilhelm in?
Yeah, he sure did, yeah.
That is a pretty low thing to do.
He didn't want that.
That bother you as a Yankee?
He still hit more home runs than anybody in baseball. I don't care what it is. The kid I was worried about was that kid that's playing for Philadelphia.
Ryan Howard. Last year, 58.
Yes, sir. He had a shot to break me.
Right? He did. He
had a
chance.
I don't count those other records.
I agree. We don't count them either. Good point.
How can McGuire say I don't want to talk about the past? Come on. You did something wrong.
Good for you, Moose.
And you talk about Sosa. Me no talk English, but when he wants money, he knows how to talk English. Tell me about them guys.
All right. So, in other words, then, did that bother you when he brought the... That always bothered me. Here's Richards, who hated the Yankees, who hated Maris, bringing... A big knuckleball in a game that's over. He brings in his closer to pitch to him in a big spot. Do you remember that sequence or not?
I don't know. We were hoping that Mickey would have broke the record.
You wanted Mickey to break the record.
Because Mickey had the reputation, but he didn't play the last month of the season.
No, he was hurt.
I mean, all our teammates felt the same way. Roger was a hell of a player. I mean, if there's a man on first and third and I'm hitting, I want Roger on first base because I know I'd get an RBI. He'd knock that second baseman or shortstop on his fanny.
He's
Roger
a good baseman.
Roger was a hell of a competitor.
Did the Yankees love Roger or not?
I loved him. Are you kidding
me? But Mantle's Mantle, so you can't judge against Mantle.
Well, right? What can I say?
Moose grew up with Mantle.
Oh, I know he did.
I grew up with him.
Did you ever?
I could write a book.
Yeah.
But I don't want to.
Did Mantle ever indicate to you in the mid-50s how much DiMaggio was a pain in the neck to him in 1951?
That I don't know. I never talked to
him. You've heard about those issues.
Wait, I went out with Mickey Mantle once in 9 years. And when Ralph Houck became manager, I dressed between him and Yogi Berra in Yankee Stadium. And Mickey says, Moose, how come you don't go out with me? I says, Mickey, I don't live your way. And he respected me for that. Now when Ralph Hawks takes the job, Ralph says, Moose, you got to go out with Mickey and Whitey. This is in spring training. So Hawk called me in the office. He says, Moose, you got to go with Mickey and Whitey. I says, okay. They gave me a chauffeur's cab. They gave me a car. And I'm driving around St. Pete and Clearwater. They want to stop at this restaurant and bar. I tell the maitre d', I got Mickey and Whitey. Oh, no. The guy said he didn't believe me. I said, well, come to the car. I'd open up the door. There's Mickey and Whitey. We'd go in there, freeload, drank. We were bowling at 4:30 in the morning. And the next day, I'm taking infield against the Phillies. I says, Ralph, I can't play. And they took me out, and that was it. I sat along the right field fence with Mickey and Whitey, and we were reminiscing. But it's the only time I went out with them.
Jeter, your favorite Yankee right now?
Oh, yeah.
He's a great throwback player.
He is one of my – he's my favorite.
Do you like A-Rod?
I don't know. I don't know A-Rod.
Not in love with A-Rod.
I don't know him that way. The other guy I know, we hug each other in Chicago because I work for the White Sox, and I go and visit Joe Torre. I see Rivera in there, and I see the Yankee trainers, and we reminisce, and – I see that little guy and
Jeter,
and he comes, Moose, how you doing? And hugs me. It makes me feel good. Guy I don't know that well.
And Reinsdorf's a good owner, right?
He's from Brooklyn.
I know. I hear he's a great guy to work for.
I know.
True?
He's been good. I've been with him 9 years.
So he's been good to you?
Yes, sir.
Takes good care of you? No problem.
I got a World Series ring. I gave it to my daughter because she's a real Sox fan. I just saw that he was selling it for $28,000.
We could talk to you all day, Moose, huh?
Well, yes,
keep it going.
But you guys been good to me.
Oh, we love you, Moose. It's always good to see you.
You've been good to me.
We love having you on every time.
Thank you.
All right, that's Moose Garrett. Great to have him with us. Mike and Chris, 5:30. Sports Radio 66.